Hey everyone, welcome back to Gateway Episodes Season 2. This is a TV podcast where we take a look at TV shows through the lens of a specific episode and decide if it's something that we want to get into. For Season 2, we are looking specifically at miniseries, and today we're going to be talking about one of the all-time classic miniseries, something that I have never seen before, Band of Brothers. And this show is being introduced to me by my good friend and co-host of Underrated, Ariel Ortiz. How's it going, Ariel?
It's going good, going good.
Thank you, thank you. So, yeah, when we were talking, when I was kicking around the idea of doing a Season 2 of Gateway Episodes and focusing on miniseries, you brought up a couple shows, but one of the ones you brought up was Band of Brothers, which is a show that I have really wanted to watch for a long time, but I've never really gotten around to it. And the episode you picked was The Breaking Point. So I don't know if you wanted to just kind of tell me or tell us all about just kind of your history with the show and, you know, why this was your choice.
Yeah, for me, it's actually one of my earliest kind of TV obsessions. I started watching it essentially, like, I think maybe a year after it came out, my dad started watching it, and then I caught on to it. The story that takes place during this episode in particular is very close to my family history. I have my great-grandfather, who was in World War II, actually served during Battle of the Bulge and was in Battle of the Bulge at Bestone. So this, as well as the episode beforehand, are very, like, important to my family history as well. And this episode in particular, I think, was one of the first episodes that I originally watched as well. And it just kind of encompasses everything that is about these soldiers that of the Easy Company. And I felt like it was a pretty good jumping into point, because it kind of, like, while, you know, they're established and stuff, I think it's very much a good build of what this whole series, like, encapsulates and the meaning behind, you know, the brotherhood and stuff of soldiers. And then it definitely very much touches base on a lot of the key soldiers of the story. And that this episode is, like, I mean, this whole series is very much a ensemble of a cast. Like, you don't even know. Like, there's so many, like, different actors that are commonplace nowadays. Their names are commonplace nowadays, but that they were in this series. And I always love the history of how this series came to be, of essentially Tom Hanks, you know, acted in Saving Private Ryan, and that kind of, like, it sparked his interest in just World War II in general, and so that kind of sparked him to find, like, the Band of Brothers, the book, which was written by Stephen E. Ambrose, and kind of pick that up and make a series out of it with the help of Steven Spielberg, who he you know, collaborated with in Saving Private Ryan. And then also this show also sparked a sister series called The Pacific, which was also written by Stephen E. Ambrose. And while this, the Band of Brothers, covers the Easy Company of the 105th Airborne and Army, Pacific covers the Marines in the Pacific Theater. And actually, that's actually very poignant to my family as well, because they trained out of Camp Pendleton, which is in California here, and in down in Oceanside. But I could go on about that series as well. But yeah, this series has just always been such it's one of my favorite series of all time. I just love the characters in this series. I mean, just starting off with, like, Winters and Malarkey and Spears, my goodness, but we'll get into that with this episode. So yeah,
no, I think that what I got from this episode in particular was the really strong ensemble cast and, you know, the brotherhood of it all. And because there are so many, like you mentioned, faces and names that you know. And it's, for me, I was like, it's a lot of really incredible character actors. It's a lot of a quote unquote that guys, you know, like you have, I was like, oh, this is what he was up to before he joined the Howling Commandos. So a lot of really great, I think, oh my gosh, why am I spacing on his name? The guy, you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh my gosh, I'm just looking over the cast list, and it's such an immense list. Neil McDonough.
Yeah.
Neil McDonough.
Yeah, Neil McDonough.
So Buck, I guess, is his character. He's always been one of my absolute favorite actors. I think he is so, he's not really appreciated like he should be. But yeah, just across the board, there are so many people in this that are giving incredible performances, and you feel the brotherhood and the bond that these people have, even jumping in the, you know, towards the tail end of it, like I am here, you really do get that they have been fighting alongside each other for years. And when they are throughout this episode, so many of them just kind of get picked off, and how heartbreaking it is. And that last little montage where you're seeing them all sitting in the church and they kind of fade, it's really effective. And you brought up something else that I really wanted to touch on, which is that Tom Hanks, when he was doing Saving Private Ryan, it kind of kicked off this inspiration in him to do something a little more in-depth. And he teamed up, like you said, with Spielberg. And that's not the first time that he's done this, where he was in a pretty great historical film, and he's like, there's so much more here. And he basically teamed with his director of that movie and went and did a whole miniseries on it on HBO. The other example is going to be something else we're going to cover, interestingly enough, in this season, which is From the Earth to the Moon, which he did with the same thing with Ron Howard after Apollo 13. And I think that really speaks to the format of the miniseries of, like, yeah, we had these movies, and there is this one story here that's a really good story, but there are so many more stories, and we want to tell all this. So how are we going to do that? We're going to tell it in a longer form, and that would be the miniseries. And I think HBO really is pretty responsible for transforming the miniseries from what it was before the 2000s, before like the late 90s, into what it was today. And in general, just kind of transforming TV, because you have the rise of prestige TV, and a lot of that does, it's not only HBO, but a lot of it starts here, and it starts with them putting, you can tell that there is a lot of money that is put into this production. Like, this looks incredible, and that was really stunning to me watching it. And it also reminded me of something else that you said in an episode we just recorded for Underrated, about how the historical war epic, which was such a big thing in the 60s and onward in film and has more or less disappeared, has really moved on to miniseries and TV shows. And you get all these great HBO shows like this and Rome and Deadwood that are these historical quote unquote epics. And this feels like it was one of the ones that really helped kick that off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this one was definitely one of the ones that was, at its time, the most iconic miniseries. Definitely, like, with the dramatization and, like you said, the style and quality. I think it was definitely a transformative series, in my opinion, yeah.
Yeah, you can really feel how just HBO doing this new format where they're like, yeah, we are not going to... Because there are some other miniseries that I've talked about from roughly the same time period that are good, but they don't look like this. They do not have the feel of this. They might have one big name. They might have a, you know, here's the special effect shot, but it's not as consistent quality as it is here. And I think a big part of that comes with getting the big names behind this, you getting the support of a Tom Hanks and a Steven Spielberg. And then when it became successful, okay, well, the next step now is we're going to do the Pacific, like you mentioned, and we're going to do all these other shows. And that kind of snowballs into the TV landscape that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. While the Pacific, like, doesn't have, like, big name, well, I would say that the names that were in this weren't as extremely big as they are nowadays. If you continue on watching this series, there's a lot of freaking names that are in this series. Like, earlier in this series, you have, like, James McAvoy is in there. In this episode, I don't know if you caught him because he's very... He can't really tell exactly that it's him, but Michael Fassbender is in this. He's kind of like...
Really? I didn't catch
him. Yeah, he is not one of the biggest characters, but he is one that is, like, in Easy Company, and you see him a lot.
So we got both of the main characters from X-Men Origins.
Yeah,
all right.
Not at the same time, unfortunately. But then you also have, like... Damian Lewis, who would go on to do, like, incredible work in his own right. Scott Grimes, who I fell in love with in this series and will always, like, because of the Malarkey character, will always, like, love Scott Grimes, this and his role in ER, like, both hand-in-hand, like, made me be a lifelong fan of Scott Grimes. Then even, like, Ron Livingston, doing this amazing portrayal of this guy that you'll learn more about, of Nixon, and just the dynamic between, like, Lewis and Livingston and their two characters of Winters and Nixon. And then I think, like, in the next episode you'll see, of course, because it's a Tom Hanks thing, Colin Hanks shows up for an episode. Yeah, just a bunch of different actors that are in this show that nowadays are, like, you know, commonplace names. And the Pacific follow that through as well, and they have, like, some pretty good stories. I would say, like, if you do decide to watch this Pacific as well, which I do recommend, it isn't too much of an ensemble, or it feels like you, like, touch base or, like, have a conversation with all these different characters, like in this episode of Band of Brothers specifically. But with the Pacific, I would say that spends time with specifically mainly three different soldiers, whereas this is, like, you get to know, like, all of Easy Company. So yeah, that's where they differ, but both are really great series as well.
Yeah, and I will say, talking about the large cast of characters, I'm always a really big fan of big ensemble shows. Like, people have heard of my favorite shows that I've talked about on this podcast. It's always, or most of the time, a show with a vast amount of really great characters. And I feel like that was what really drew me into this episode specifically. So I'm really glad you picked it, because you are getting to experience these characters going through all this. And I think maybe about, like, 2/3 of the episode is just kind of, like, spent talking with them and about their relationships and building this up. And then you have the climax at the end, where you're seeing all of this happen. So many of them have died up to that point. You know that more of them are going to die, and that the guy leading them, Dyke, is going to get even more of them killed because he's not fit to lead, and he's only there because of politics. So I thought that was very effective. I had a little trouble keeping track of who was who, just because there were so many characters, and I'm sure going back to the beginning, you know, would... let me, you know, kind of it'd be easier to keep track, especially since, you know, they're all army guys, they're all wearing the same. But I did still get a good feel for them, even jumping into the middle of this here and just kind of not really knowing who was who. And they would do stuff like that scene where they're like, oh, who would be a good leader? And they kind of go through all the different guys. It gave them all distinct personalities. They all really felt that. I liked that little intro that they did. And I'm sure that's a recurring thing of them talking about the experiences that they had. So I don't know if you wanted to talk about the whole ensemble of it all.
Yeah, no, the beginning, like, that's a thing that happens at the beginning of each episode. That's the actual soldiers of Easy Company. And they kind of, like, open up and talk about that, the what's going to happen in that episode. And mainly, like, how they're feeling. So you get to enter into each episode with, like, kind of being in the mindset of how they're feeling in that episode, which is very helpful. But for the ensemble, like, this episode in particular, you have, like, they switch off on narratives, like, on narrator. And with this one in particular, you have Lipton, who is very, like, that's why I think he's a better actor than his brother, but very much, like, well played played by Donnie Wahlberg. And he just Lipton is one of my favorite characters, and he very much shows why he is one of my favorite characters in this episode, because of how much of like a leader he has to be without really having the ranking. He just kind of like steps up to the plate because he has to, and that kind of continues on later on in the series. But yeah, like you have all these different soldiers that you get. Like, that's why I really liked this episode as a starting off point, because like you get the sense that they've all been through the shit, like especially with their talk about how, you know, how they've been wounded and stuff like that, and like very much like it tying back to like, oh yeah, like Easy Company is like notorious to, you know, getting shot in the ass, which later on one of them gets shot in the ass and so yeah. But then also like it does a very good job of showing, particularly like the notoriety of Spears, who also becomes like a really awesome character just because of how badass he is. And you get that before he even like does his badass moment in this series, in this episode. Like you get that he has already that reputation that follows up on him. And you, if you go back and watch it, they do show what really happened with the cigarettes and the German soldiers and that whole story. Like it's not this, of course, because it gets exaggerated, but it is actually a very pretty like this man should not be messed with kind of moment. But Spears is just crazy awesome. And yeah, like I mean, that's what makes this show is all these characters and just getting to know them and like, you know, and their names sticking with you. Like, yeah, I will always like remember Mularkey, Winters, Nixon, Lipton, Gutierrez, and all them. Like, you know, Spears.
Yeah, no, it definitely. You bring up the whole the stuff with his stories and, you know, how these things get kind of started and. I thought that was really interesting, and also about how he kind of tells the other guy, he's like, hey, they've had a leader. And he's like, you don't even know what I'm talking about. It's you, dude. I really liked all of that.
Also, you get the sense of like where Winters is coming from. Like they very much, because Winters was their commanding officer. And so you get that's why like Nixon has that conversation with him. He's like, you can't lead them. Like you are of they're of status now. They're like too important, especially Winters. Like you'll learn of how, why he is in the position that he is and why he will be in the position that he is later on in the series. It's because of how good he is. And so you get that. I love how, like, even in this, you get that sense of like how much Easy Company are his his brothers. Like that's his brothers. Mm-hmm. That's his company, with showing that how he like is trying to rush out, like, you know, and like he wants to like join the fight because he's like seeing them, like, you know, his brothers, like essentially, you know, being gunned down and stuff. And yeah, it's just a very poignant way, and I love that, like, even without knowing exactly what's going on, you get the sense of what's going on. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, to kind of answer the question of the show here of whether or not I will be stepping through the gateway, I think that people listening can probably guess at this point that, yeah, I certainly will. You know, this is, as you described once with Justified, probably a soft gateway for me, because it is something I have wanted to watch. But I do think that this episode in particular did a really good job of catching my interest and making me want to go back and watch this entire thing and check out this whole story. But with that, I wonder just if you have any thoughts just kind of in general on miniseries and how they have changed TV, because we kind of touched on it a little bit about this being a new kind of, you know, or this kind of being a different way of telling TV and how, you know, the movies, the epic scope of the movies was being really taken over to the small screen at this time. And did you have any kind of more thoughts on that?
I think that the miniseries opens up the opportunity for storytellers to, you know, tell a complete story, but give it enough time to like fester and to develop. I mean, like even things like in recent history, most famous, like Watchmen, like of how that was a complete, you know, storyline. But then also like miniseries, like the one that's popping in my head right now is like Pam and Tommy, and just kind of like that story. It just, even that kind of like story of like, which is notorious of a story, you are allowed to have like more detail added to it, but not it get over developed or it's very much like a pointed story. And I think that, like, I think I've said this like once before on something else, that, you know, that the world today's, you know, attention span has shortened, and so these miniseries are becoming a bit more popularized because of that. And it's because like they are able to grab the audience fairly quickly, and then just like take them on a journey, a story, and then, you know, like kind of like drop them back off at the station in a way at the end. And it's like a finite story. And I think that that's why like all these miniseries are, you know, becoming popular and why they thrive nowadays. But I think it is very much a very smart way of storytelling, because, I mean, at least for me, you know, I do love an ending. And while, you know, some endings like are worth, you know, the multiple years of, you know, for example, the MCU, for example, just like multiple years of storytelling, it's always nice to just kind of have like, yeah, this just little, you know, just little time in your life where you this miniseries exists, and then it also allows for multiple viewings to happen. Like, you know, just like I can always go back and rewatch Band of Brothers like at any time, like, or The Pacific for that example, just because like of how you know they're still engaging, and that's, I think, like because of how much story is it's jam-packed with, like, that's what makes a good miniseries, is when every second and every moment, you know, is contributing to the story. And that's what miniseries, like, I think, when they're done good, do best.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You mentioned a lot of stuff that I, you know, have kind of, I won't go too much into it because I've kind of said some of the same things in previous episodes, and I don't want to repeat myself, but I definitely agree with all of that, especially about the telling something in a concise way and having an ending, because I too love an ending. But you bring up something that I haven't really touched on, which is the rewatchability of a miniseries, because since it does live in that middle space between a TV show and a movie, if you're going to rewatch it, it's, you know, a couple hours and then you're done. If you want to rewatch a TV show, that's maybe a couple months long commitment. If you're going to rewatch Breaking Bad or something, you might be at it for who knows how long you're going to be at it. But a miniseries is that sweet spot. It's that Goldilocks zone where it's like, all right, I can rewatch Band of Brothers. It might take me, you know, I might do it over a weekend, or I might do it over, you know, maybe a month at most, or, you know, a couple weeks or something, where you can be like, all right, I'll watch an episode a night or however much it is, and just kind of like live in this world, turn it off, come back, and then know that, okay, I'm going to have an end here, and it's going to be a nice little place to live that you can revisit it every once in a while whenever you do need to go back to that well, to something that is kind of familiar that you really, really do enjoy, like that. And even stuff, I'm really like how they're experimenting with the form. You brought up the MCU with, you know, stuff like WandaVision, which is, you know, it is part of the larger MCU, but that is a kind of complete arc, you know, to have that story be told. There is a lot of Disney Plus is doing some interesting stuff with the miniseries too. I think now a lot of these streamers are really, you know, Netflix has obviously done so many miniseries that are really great, some of which we've covered on this show. So the form is opening up a lot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But any final thoughts on Band of Brothers and this episode before we wrap up here?
I don't know. Just that, you know, it's just such a great story. Like I think I mentioned on one of our upcoming episodes of Underrated, of how I just really do enjoy World War II stories and stuff like that, because it's always like a very poignant And I think we mentioned, like, kind of, it's problematic in some ways, but overall, like, you know, the enemy and stuff like that of World War II is the most unproblematic, in a way, or uncontroversial, you could say, of an enemy.
Yeah, killing Nazis is never gonna, like, be like, oh, no, this is, you know, bad, like, this is, it's always like, yeah, killing Nazis, that's a good thing.
Yeah, so yeah, well, it just, like, opens up with, like, very good, while it is a sad time in history, but it does have, like, so some of the most poignant stories, in my opinion, to come out of, so yeah, like, I just definitely, this Band of Brothers itself, like, contributed to that love of that history as well.
Yeah, definitely, I can see, I mean, there's been so many World War II movies and TV shows and stuff like that, and it is no wonder why that, you know, this is such a resonant thing, and, you know, there is a whole generation of people that went through it all that, you know, still remember it, and it still means a lot to a lot of people, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, with that, thank you, everyone, for listening. We have been Derek and Ariel of the Undercast Company. We are getting close to the end here of Season 2 of Gateway Episodes. Just got a couple more episodes that are still coming out week to week here. So thank you all for listening. If you liked us here, we also do a movie podcast along with our friend Alan called Underrated, where we talk about underrated movies, ones that have slipped under the radar, passed most people by. We've had a lot of fun with that. We do that every other week, so definitely check that out. And then we've also got Infinity Stones and Dragon Bones, which is a MCU podcast. And Ariel, once a month, also has her podcast, Can I Say Something? I don't know if you wanted to mention that to the people,
you've
Ariel.
You've never seen Can I Say Something as one of your other
Oh my
ones.
Gosh, I'm so fucking tired. I'm sorry, this is like the fifth podcast I've recorded today. Sorry.
No, mine is You've Never Seen. I do something similar that Derek does here, but I do it with movies. I introduce somebody to a movie that they've never seen but is considered a part of pop culture and cinematic history, or they introduce me to it. Yeah, I have very much a lot of fun with that. Have a bunch of different people that stop by and hang out with me and just have, you know, usually sometimes poignant discussions that we get pretty deep on things of. And yeah, so it always leads to a really good discussion.
Yep, definitely. I've been on a few episodes of that. It's a great show. Sometimes people come on and call Harry Potter an idiot, and sometimes you get really deep. Either way, it's really great. But thank you guys all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, thanks for being amazing.